You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev. Let's go around the NHL. Brought to you by Cougar Paint and Collision. There when you need them, call or stop in. No appointment required. They'll see you right away. You can trust Cougar Paint and Collision. They're family serving your family. 88th Street and Yellowhead Trail. The Philadelphia Flyers, a team looking to improve after missing the postseason last year. They've got a lot of top-end talent. They just got Nolan Patrick, the number 2 overall draft pick, who is healthy. For the first time in a long time, will he make that team? We'll find out. Veteran reporter, longtime guy covering the Philadelphia Flyers, Sam Carcitti joins us once again. Sam, I hope you're having a great offseason. Give me your thoughts on Nolan Patrick. When you look at the amount of top-end skill they have in Philly, do they need Nolan Patrick, or will they be very cautious in bringing him to the NHL this year?
Well, I think they need him. I really do, Jason. And, they struggled to score goals last year. I think Sean Couturier is better suited to be a third-line center, and I think Nolan Patrick will be the number 2 center this year. I talked to Ron Hextall yesterday, and he said, he's got to prove himself. He doesn't have an automatic spot, and, he says, I don't have any preconceived notions. He has to come in here and earn it. That said, I think if you read between the lines, they really would like him to win a spot, and, they want to get younger. They want to get a little bigger, and he provides that. And, as a result, I think Dale Filppula, who was their second-line center after they acquired him last year, I think he'll probably move out to wing.
Okay.
And it makes the Flyers a lot stronger, I think, if you have, Patrick as the second-line center. Then down the middle, you're pretty strong with Giroux, Patrick, Couture, and probably Scott Laughton, although Mike Vecchione will certainly be in the conversation. So, they're going to be younger. There's no question. They're going to have a young kid. Oscar Lindblom will probably make the team at left wing. Jordan Wheel isn't a rookie, but he hasn't played a full season, and he really showed a lot last year. I think he'll be in the top 9. He's a young guy, and of course I mentioned Nolan Patrick and Travis Konecny is also a youngster. He's got a good chance to be in the top 6 this year. And on defense, they'll probably have 2 rookies make the team. So this is a team in transition. But Ron Hextall does not want to call it a rebuilding year. He's, that's a dirty word to him. He thinks that they can still contend for a playoff spot, get younger, and get better. And we'll see how it plays out. But I kind of agree that, most of these guys, and I'm talking about Sam Moran on defense, Robert Hagg on defense, they're not young kids. It's not like they're 18, 19-year-old kids. They're both around 22. Provorov now has a year of experience. Shane Gostisbehere is still young, but he has a year and 3/4 of experience. So, yes, they're young, but it's not like they're, like I said, 18, 19-year-old kids that you're throwing to the wolves.
Now, what about Laterra? Where do you see him slotting in?
Well, as you know, he's a center as well, and I think he'll move out to the wing. I see him as a fourth line winger right now. There just aren't spots. If you look at it, if I had to, and again, this all play out and they'll change it 100 times, but my educated guess on the front line, the top line is Claude Giroux centering, Jake Voracek and Travis Konecny. I think Nolan Patrick will win the second line center spot with Simmons and the rookie Oscar Lindblom, who looked very impressive last year. I think he's going to step right into a top 6 role. I think Couture will probably center Jordan Wheel and Val Filppula. And Laterra, who you mentioned, will probably be on a line with maybe Dale Weiss or, possibly Matt Reed. Michael Raffel will be battling for a spot. And I think Scott Laughton has the edge at center on that line. One of the reasons is they like what he did last year in the AHL, and the other reason is he'd have to go through waivers, and they protected him. Some people were a little surprised. They did not expose him to Vegas in the draft, and that speaks volume. So they like him. On the other hand, Mike Vecchione, who's another highly touted player, he can go down to the AHL. He does not have to clear a waiver, so that'll be a factor. But it'll be decided in camp. But, pretty good winger if you have Lettiero on the fourth line. So I think offensively they'll be much improved over last year.
Sam Carcini joins us, breaking down the Philadelphia Flyers. On the back end, Andrew McDonald a few years ago, people are like, oh, they're going to buy him out, they're going to move him. He actually played pretty decent for them. They got in Gudas, you got Provorov. Everybody in Edmonton knows about Manning. Who do you see, who is on paper their top pair when the season begins?
Well, that's a good question, because I would probably say, a little reluctantly maybe, it would probably be Provorov and McDonald. Provorov is definitely a top pair defenseman. McDonald is not, but, you know, he did okay last year. He passed the test. So I think that would probably be the number one pair. Gostisbehere is not a top pairing defenseman. He's a number one guy offensively. Defensively, he struggled last year. I think he'll probably be with Sam Moran. Again, it could differ, but, you know, right now, it seems like they have a pretty good chemistry. They've played together in preseasons in the past. They played together last year in the only game that Moran played in the NHL. They look real good together. And Dave Haxtell, the coach, likes to put together a puck mover like Ghost and a stay-at-home guy like Sam Moran. So that looks like it could be a good pairing. Same thing with Robert Hague and Gudas, I think. And we should mention, too, that Travis Sanheim is knocking on the door. Most people think he probably needs another 3 or 4 months of seasoning, but we'll see how it plays out. And the guy who could be the best of all the young defensemen, who haven't even mentioned him, is Phil Myers. And he probably a year away. But when he comes up and when Sanheim comes up, you're going to have just a young defense that could be very, very good for the next 10, 12 years. You're going to have six guys that are all young, a good mixture of, you know, stay-at-home guys and puck movers. And I think everybody brings a little bit something different to the table. So right now it looks like Brandon Manning, you mentioned, he's well-known in Edmonton. Good, solid guy. I think he'll be I see him as a seventh guy right now, but if somebody's hurt, he can do a very capable job of stepping in as the sixth guy on defense. But right now I do see two rookies, I think Hague and Moran on paper are the favorites to win jobs. And that would give them four guys on defense, along with Ivan Provorov and Shane Gostisbehere combined. None of them have more than one full season in the NHL. So, they may take their lumps early, but I think they'll steady themselves and be a pretty good defense, especially in the second half of the year.
Sam Carcini, a beat reporter for the Philadelphia Flyers, joins us, writes at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Goaltending, it's the old adage, if you have two number ones, you don't have a number one. You've got Neuwirth and Brian Elliott, who had a tough year in Calgary last season. Right now, is Neuwirth the guy? Is it his job to lose, or do you think they're coming in kind of 50-50, and is this going to be 41-42 start kind of scenario?
Yeah, I'd say the latter. I think it's a 50-50 split right now, and they like that. Steve Mason last year, he went on record as saying, hey, you have to have a number one guy. Ron Hextall doesn't believe in that, and to me, it was a lateral move. I don't see Elliott being better than Steve Mason. That said, Elliott was terrific in the last 3 months of the year. I talked to Johnny Goudreau, who's from our area, and I talked to him a few days ago, and he says, hey, with Elliott, we don't make the playoffs. And Elliott was the guy that carried them. As you mentioned, he really got off to a rough start. I think he had a tough time getting acclimated to a new team. He said his wife gave birth, and he was kind of caught in between. He wanted to be home with her and the newborn baby, and he wanted to bond with his new teammates. And he said his head just wasn't in it for the first couple months of the season. And then he steadied himself and had a real good last three months of the season or so. His numbers are terrific after that. So, and Michael Neuwirth, you mentioned, he's coming off a really disappointing year. The year before, he had a career season. Last year, he was in and out with injuries, and when he was in, he was not effective. So I think you'll see him bounce back. I've seen Michael Neuwirth in the past, and he's too good a goalie. The goalie we saw last year was not Michael Neuwirth. So I think the goaling won't be spectacular. I think it'll be adequate. But as I mentioned earlier, the only thing you worry about is so much youth on defense,
yeah.
And you wonder if that is going to take its toll on these goalies, especially early in the year. But to me, the goalie situation, it's more of a lateral move. But I thought Mason did a pretty good job here, and probably didn't get the respect from fans that he deserved. I thought Mason was a pretty solid goalie. Was he spectacular? No, he wasn't, but he was a solid guy, no question.
You mentioned their defense, and having seen it for many years in Edmonton, if you have a young blue line that doesn't have a few competent veterans, it's really difficult to win. Eventually, they get exposed just because it's tough to play. In that division, extremely difficult division with the Penguins, of course, back-to-back champs. You got the Capitals, got the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Rangers, the Islanders, who were very close last year. Philly's going to need they're going to need Giroux and Voracek to get back to being 80-point guys if they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, Claude Giroux, he had hip and abdominal surgery last year, and he claimed that it bothered him at different times last year, and he wasn't himself, and it showed. But if you take out last year, for the six previous years, he led the NHL in those 6 years in points. A little misleading, I guess, because guys like Crosby had missed some time with injuries. But, to Giroux's credit, he plays through pain, and he plays in almost every game, and you got to give him credit for that. If he bounces back, they'll have a much better shot. Voracek, had an okay year, but I think he would agree it wasn't up to his capability. So I would agree with you. I think they need bounce-back years from both those guys. Again, Voracek did not have a bad year. But, it wasn't the all-star year that we've seen him have in the past. And Wayne Simmonds, to me, is probably their most consistent player. I think he's their MVP. He certainly was last year. But they need Giroux, especially, because I think they feed off Giroux. And, he had a tough year, and he really takes the game hard. And he puts a lot of pressure on himself, and he needs to have more fun out there. There were times last year his body language was just really bad. You could just tell he was just so frustrated with himself. And I think the team sees that, and it carries over. So they really need him to bounce back, and I think they take a key off from their captain.
Yeah, definitely. And I watched a few Philly games. I kind of sense the same thing. Clearly, it's frustrating. And he's been a competitive player. They were on good teams. And I think when you kind of know you're out of it, that – early into a season, it can be difficult even for a guy who's supposed to be your leader. But the reality is, when you have that C on, you can't let those emotions be shown too often.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But on one hand, it's a catch-22 situation. You want a guy. I really respect Giroux because he goes out and he gives 100%. There's nobody that wants to win more than Claude Giroux. But it's a balancing act. You have to know, how far you can go with that. And sometimes it boils over into frustration and that carries over in his play. And he just wants to do so much. It's like he wants to score two goals in every shift. And you're right. He has to be a little bit more mature out there and say, hey, just take it shift by shift and don't try to do too much. But he is relentless out there. That's his trademark and that they don't want to take that away. But they're hopeful that he won't be as frustrated this year. He got off to a tough start, and it kind of snowballed, and he had a good little run when they won 10 straight. But then after that, he fell back into a slump and never quite recovered.
Sam, I appreciate your time. It'll be very interesting watching to see what happens with Nolan Patrick. And the Flyers definitely should have enough offense, but will they have enough defense, which is going to be the big question for them. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jason. Have a good day.
You betcha. Sam Carcitti from the Philadelphia Inquirer, longtime beat reporter for the Flyers.